That's a given. You say
yes.
Yes.
God said, "Get out of the bed early."
Yep.
You say
yes. Amen. Yes.
You just say, "We'll put a yes in my phone." Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. We need to say yes. How many of you know, the more you say yes to God, you can say no to a whole lot of other stuff.
Yes, that's true.
Right?
Yes.
Amen. Because God will give you power to stand. And you know, that's what we've been talking about. We're going to talk again this week about overcoming your demons. Amen. We touched upon it last week, but we got to come back. And I don't know if we're going to do it again next week. Amen. But, I won't be here. I won't be here. Yeah, it's on y'all next week. So, yeah, I don't know where we're going to go the next time. But we want to continue this with overcoming your demon, because how many of you know demons are real?
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Folk can mess around with the demonic all they want. They messing around with some real stuff. Mm-hmm. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, not a kid, but I used to have a Ouija board.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You remember a Ouija board?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where, you sit down with somebody, you put your finger on that little pointed thing, and it starts like spelling out words and stuff.
Contact experience.
Yeah, man. Lord, thank you. Mm-hmm. Saving me, amen. We messing around. We having fun. The demonic is real. Amen. And we were looking at it last week about how Satan wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Right? Satan don't have anything in good mind for any of us. Right? He wants to take everything you have. First of all, he would like to kill you if he could. Mm-hmm. And if he's not going to be able to do that, he's going to want to destroy what you have. Mm-hmm. Destroy your marriage. Destroy your relationship with your children. Destroy your health. Right? Mm-hmm. He just wants to mess up your life. Especially if you're following behind God. Because see, the devil hates God. Right? Because he's nothing but a fallen angel, right? Got cast out of heaven. And his judgment is already sealed. But he still fights. Right? Because the time for his final judgment hasn't come yet. But he's fighting. And so he's fighting against God. But how does he fight against God the most? By fighting against people who follow and love God.
That's right.
Right? And he comes against you. And he tries to fight against others to keep them from following God. So he's at work in our lives, amen, trying to do different things, and he uses temptation, and he uses deception, and he uses accusation, right, to cause havoc in our lives. Think about it. Some of the biggest trouble you've ever got into your life is because you gave in to the temptation.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That thing was out in front of you, and you said, "Look good to me." And next thing you know, you were doing it, and now you're paying the price.
Yeah.
Hmm? Even when you was in school, that's how you got in trouble. You gave in to the temptation. You just knew it would be a good idea to shoot a spitball at the teacher. And they called your mama. I was in the gym the other day, and the instructor is, he's black, and he has some other people in there who are black, and he has some other people in there who are white. And he has said something like, "Get that thing off my couch," or whatever, because his couch is not, you're not supposed to sit on it when you're sweaty. And he's talking about somebody that's hard-headed, and he said, "A hard head makes a soft behind." All the black people said, "Yup." The white people were like, "Huh?" And we were cracking up. He said, "Everybody back here know what I'm talking about." See, you know when you got in trouble, you got your mama called. Mm-hmm. If the teacher had to call your mama, you know you would get.
Yeah.
There's no time out at home. But the enemy, amen, the enemy is real. And he's trying to tempt us into all kinds of things. He's trying to trick us into all kinds of things. He's accusing us of all kinds of things. And uses other people to accuse us. And it's all designed to get us off our mark. It's designed to bring us down. It's designed to destroy us. Mm-hmm. But as we started to look at last week, right, we can overcome all of these things that the enemy tries to do to us by using God's power, right? We're not going to be able to, how many of you know, we're not going to be able to beat Satan doing things our way.
No.
You can't come up with things in your head and think, okay, this is what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to develop willpower.
No.
How many times you just made up your mind you were never going to do that thing again? Mm-hmm. Just fill in the blank, whatever the thing is. I'm never doing that again. And you went back, right? And at the first opportunity, you were right back at it.
Yep.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
When you try, you said to yourself, I'm never going to do this again. You even made a deal with God. God, if you get me out of this,
yep,
I'll never do it again. God gets you out of it. And maybe you stay away for a time or two. But then after a while, you go right back in. Why? Because willpower is not enough to resist the temptation of the devil. We need Holy Ghost power.
Amen.
We need God's power.
Amen.
In order to resist. You know, that you hear some people, they will quote, they think they're quoting the Bible. They say, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Mm-hmm.
See, it does say that in the Bible, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But right before that, it says, submit yourselves unto God. Then it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So watch this. You just can't start resisting until you first submit.
That's right.
Right? See, that's first. It says, submit unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Why do we have to submit first? Because when a life that's in submission to God is a life that is now infused with the power of God, according to the word of God, that now allows you to resist the devil and make him flee.
Amen.
But if you want to leave out the submit part and just get out there and think you're going to start being like Jesus, talking about, get thee behind me, Satan, that's not going to work.
That's right.
We have to submit first, then resist, and then the devil flees. It's a three-part process, amen? Submit, resist, and then watch him flee. We have to do it God's way. And so if we're going to submit to God, it means, first of all, we got to submit to this word and to this teaching and do things his way and not ours. And then when we do that, we can resist it and successfully get him out of our lives. Now, we're going to go back to Luke chapter 4. We were here last week, and so we're going to go back again, Luke chapter 4. And we're going to look at Jesus being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And first of all, one of the things that should really strike you is this. If Jesus was tempted by Satan, don't you dare think you won't be.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if it happened to Jesus, it will happen to you. Watch this. Did people ever accuse Jesus of anything as you read the Bible?
Yes.
Of course. Anybody ever accuse you?
Yes.
Hmm? People ever lie? You see in the Bible, people lie on Jesus?
Yes.
Anybody ever lie on you?
Yes.
Hmm? They call Jesus names in the Bible. They call him the devil. Anybody ever call you a name?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. Anything that happened to Jesus will happen to you. Except, glory to God, you ain't going to die for the sins of mankind. You can't do that.
Amen.
Praise God, because some of us, you know right away, man, I ain't doing that. That's just scripture, amen. It says, scarcely for a good man will somebody even dare to die. Glory to God. Good thing God didn't ask any of us. But if Jesus was tempted by Satan, glory to God, then understand that you and I will be tempted by him as well. But watch this. If Jesus successfully overcame the temptations of Satan, then don't you think we should look at what he did, how he did it, so that we can take from that some lessons so that we can do the same thing? Amen. If he was successful, I want to follow his pathway for success, so that I can do it in my own life. Because when Satan come around telling me to do some things and whispering in my ear and trying to tempt me to do this or to do that, I want to have a battle plan that's ready.
Amen.
So that I can come away with the victory. Listen, I've been at this too long. I'm too old now. Do you know sometimes you get to a place where you're too old and you put in too much time, you can't lose the stuff you put in the time for. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Nah, it took me a long time to get to this point. Whatever that point in your life is, there should be something that you say, it took me too long to get to this point.
Amen.
I'm not losing, and fill in the blank, I'm not losing this, I'm not losing that, over some foolishness. And so, we want to know how we're going to successfully wage this battle of overcoming the demons, because they are on the prowl and they're attacking. And that's not to scare you, it's to prepare you.
Amen.
Amen. And so we're in Luke chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 1 down to verse number 13. But before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you the praise and the thanks, O God, as we come back to your word, O God. Father, we're praying for the further outpouring of your spirit. Father, give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the word of God that we're about to hear. And Father, help us, O God, by your grace, not only to hear it, but to walk it out, to be doers of the word.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you right now, God, that Satan is defeated and Jesus has the victory.
Yes.
But Father God, we desire to walk in victory, but we don't know how without your help.
Yes.
So Father, share with us the battle plan now, God. Help us, O Father, to claim the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you now for what you're about to share with us. Father, we bind the hand of the enemy now that will attempt to stop your work from being done. Father, help us to keep our hearts and our minds focused on what thus saith the Lord. And Father, we believe that as we do that, we shall leave this place fully prepared, fully armed to go forward and to wage battle against the enemy of our soul and come out on top. And so, Father, we thank you in advance for all the victories that are ours. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's look at the scripture, Luke chapter 4. We're going to read from verse number 1. Praise God. We're going to read from verse number 1 down to verse number 13. And it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Amen.
Amen.
Alright, so we see here, amen, as we get into the scripture again, we read this on last week, right? That Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. Today, we're not going to talk a lot about it, but understand that, amen, that sometimes the Spirit of God is going to lead you to some places you'd rather not be.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Don't think just because the Spirit of God is leading you that He's going to lead you to the place that is exactly where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
He may lead you to some rugged places, some barren places, some dirty places, some hard places. And you wonder sometimes, how did I get here? And see, this is why, and I praise God for growing up, because when I first started, you know, it was in, you know, started going to church. I used to think, oh, when you got in trouble, you did something wrong. If you're in a fix, you did something wrong. But how many of you know, amen, that sometimes God leads you to a place because the only way to develop some character in you, you got to go through some stuff.
Amen.
Sometimes in order to get stronger, you have to face resistance.
Yeah.
That's why when you go to the gym and all the workouts, they call it resistance training.
Amen.
If you don't resist the weight just stays down there. You build no muscle. But when you work and that weight is resisting you because every time you want to lift it up, it wants to go back down and you just keep at it. That's how you get stronger.
Yes.
See, we have to be resisted in order to develop strength sometimes.
Yes.
And so God will lead us to a place that's not always to our liking. The Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness.
Yes.
And when Jesus was in the wilderness, he fasted for 40 days, which means he did not eat. And during this time, he was being tempted by the enemy. When you read the account in Matthew chapter 4, because we see it in Matthew, we also see it in Luke. He was being tempted by the devil during this 40-day period. But now, after the 40 days, the Bible says Jesus was hungry. And now the devil comes up to him, and the devil says to him in verse number 3, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And isn't that something? Please understand that Satan's first attack here against Jesus came when Jesus was tired and hungry and alone. Right? He's in the wilderness by himself. He's tired 40 days and 40 nights. He's hungry because he hadn't eaten for those 40 days and 40 nights. And now Satan comes against him and says, take these stones and make it into bread. Now, isn't that something? That Satan will often attack us when we are physically and emotionally vulnerable.
Wow.
Right? You ever notice that? Amen? This is one thing you got to think about. When you're tired, you had a hard day at work, you're tired, you're spent, right? Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you feel alone. That's when Satan comes, because he's looking now to get you at your point of weakness. He wants you to be physically and emotionally vulnerable. Why? Because you are more likely to give in because your guard is not up as much as it should be.
Yes.
Right? So be very aware of those times, amen, when you're really tired.
Yes.
Be aware of those times when you're emotionally spent. Or when you're frustrated, or when you're anxious, or even when you're angry. Because see, when we get a little bit emotionally unstable, that's where Satan thinks he can come in and start telling us and suggesting and urging us to do things, and we'll give in to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he comes to Jesus, amen, and because he viewed this as an area of weakness. He's hungry. He's weak and he's hungry. So let me come and now try to poke him in that area of weakness. Why don't you just make this stone some bread, man? You know,
yeah.
If you're God, just make this into bread.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But understand something else too, though. By telling Jesus to turn the stone to bread, Satan wasn't only testing him in an area of weakness. He was also doing something else. He was testing him in an area of strength. What in the world are you talking about? Because see, Jesus could turn the stone to bread. In other words, he had the power to turn the stone to bread. And so here Satan is also tempting him in the area of his strength. You're God. Turn it to bread, man. You're hungry. And see, understand, do you know that sometimes Satan will try to take your weakness or your strength and tempt you to do something? Now, Jesus is hungry. There's nothing wrong with him eating. But it wasn't time for him to eat. But Satan tempted him in that area. You're able to do it, so why don't you just go ahead and do it? But you got to understand something, and this is this. Sometimes you and I can do something that's totally legitimate. It's not a sin, right? But maybe it's not time for it yet.
Wow.
What do you mean? I'll give you an example. Let's just say, you know, You saved up some money, right? Your credit report is good. And if you wanted to, you have the ability to go down to the dealership, and as Steve Harvey would say, drive out of here with a brand new car. Right? And let's say you had the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's not time for you to do it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Maybe it's not a good time for you to do it. But you're looking at your money is right, your credit score is good. Mm-hmm. And not only that, you just got a letter in the mail from the local dealership saying they got deals going on. Mm-hmm. And you go, I'm able to do it. And Satan start with me. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do it? Why don't you go ahead and get a new car? You haven't got it. Go ahead and get it. He's tempting you in your area of strength, because right now you have the ability to do it. But watch this. God knows what's coming around the corner.
Jesus.
He knows in 2 weeks, 2 months, or whatever the case may be, you're going to hit a financial crisis, and you're going to need that money.
Oh my goodness.
And the Spirit of the living God is trying to tell you, nah, it's not time for that right now. But the devil is telling you, you have the ability to do it, you have the money, your credit score is good, you got the ladder. And if you go ahead and do it, it's nothing wrong necessarily, but it wasn't the right time.
Exactly.
Listen, there's timing involved in good decision making too. Amen? And we got to be aware of the time. And so Satan will try to tempt you in your area of strength, but he will also try to tempt you in the area of weakness. In other words, he's going to tempt you at all times. But don't think simply because, well, I can stay strong and Satan won't tempt me. No. He'll come and tempt you in that area.
Right. Right.
You know what the worst pride, that the sin that God really despises is the sin of pride.
Yes.
The one that said, I can do this. But do you know how many of the people Satan tempts and say, man, you're really good at that. You're really good. Remember JJ on Good Times? When Agent told him that he was such a great artiste, and what he would say?
I know.
Remember that?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that do that. Instead of being humble about themselves and deflecting all kinds of credit, they take it. Yeah. That's Satan tempting you. Because what? You had said earlier about naming that, like, God doesn't want you to get the big head.
No.
It says pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. In other words, if you get up, lifted up in pride, destruction is waiting for you. When you start getting lifted up and everything like that, then you're about to fall.
Yes, amen.
And so Satan, if he can't, he'll come into your area of strength and try to pump you up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you think you're better than other people. The Bible says that we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Right? We need to be humble people, knowing that whatever it is that we're able to do is only by the grace of God. Amen?
Amen.
Ain't nobody around here better than anybody else.
Amen.
One person said amen. She spoke for them all. Amen? Glory to God. Amen. But Satan will try to tempt you. And look how Jesus beat him back, right? He told him, he said, listen, he went right to the word of God. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. Amen. In other words, listen, I'm not going to listen to you, Satan, and what you're saying. I don't listen to your words. I listen to God's words. That's how I live my life. Now, all I'm saying is that if Jesus says that, then guess what? I'm saying the same thing. Amen. It's that simple. If Jesus said it, I'm saying it. So guess what? Satan's going to try to come. I live by the word of God. Now, I can say that. Jesus said it and did it time after time after time. How many of you know the best we can do is to go out there and to purpose to live that way? Sometimes you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No one walking around here acting like they got it all down pat. If you do, keep on living.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Keep on living. But Jesus said, listen, we live by the word of God. In other words, what's he saying? He's saying, I'm going to obey God's words. I'm going to do things God's way. And so that's what we have to do, amen. And so we see this, that the first thing Satan wants to do is tempt you in your area. You know, he'll tempt you in the area of weakness. He'll tempt you in your area of strength. You know. I don't know about you, but you ever get to that point where sometimes you're home and and you may be watching television, you just mind your business, you're not thinking about anything, and you'll see a commercial or you'll see a movie, and they're eating ice cream, or they're eating Chinese food, or they're doing, and you weren't even thinking about it. Now all of a sudden, you want something. Isn't that an amazing thing?
Yeah.
How can that happen so fast? I wasn't thinking about this. Now all of a sudden, it's the only thing that's on my mind.
Yep.
It's 2:00 in the morning, amen. I haven't had a White Castle hamburger in forever. Now all of a sudden, I'm thinking, man, White Castle. How did that happen? Right? Sometimes that's us. But we get tempted by our own things that we want. But there's other times, amen, that's Satan trying to get you. Huh? There's some people, amen, you haven't thought about that ex for forever. Right? Your life is good. Next thing you know, you're thinking about it. I wonder what he's doing. Where did that come from? Yeah, especially if he was, you know. But he will come, and sometimes it'll come when you sit there on a Saturday night all alone.
Oh,
right? Because he want to come and expose your vulnerability. He comes, amen, and tries to get you in your area of weakness. But please also understand, he will come and try to exploit your area of strength. That's why one of the things, the best thing that I've ever been taught is that when people give you credit and people, you know, praise you and compliment you, deflect the praise and say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just praise the Lord. That's all you got to say. You don't got to get all crazy about, oh, no, 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 not me, not me. Just say praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Somebody come and say, oh, man, this cake is good. You made this cake? Yeah, well, this cake is good. Praise the Lord. And somebody say, how come I just can't say thank you? Because here's the thing. Whatever you practice, you get better at. And so if you practice taking all the credit for things that you do, you'll get better and better at taking credit. And at some point, you see what I mean? It's much better to practice deflecting credit, staying humble, say, it ain't me, praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Praise God. Well, thank you for helping me, but praise the Lord. I know I got up and helped you, but praise the Lord, because you know what? Glory to God. I really didn't feel like coming. So you better thank God. Praise the Lord. But amen, we deflect the credit. All right, so let's look. So Jesus used the word.
Mm-hmm.
Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He says what? I'm going to do what God says and not what somebody else says. Amen. One last thing before we move on. Understand this, that Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, right? But you don't have to be in a bad place in order to be tempted.
Amen. That's right.
Because if you remember, Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And it was perfect in the garden. It's rugged and messed up in the wilderness, but it was perfect in the garden. Satan don't care where you are. Good place, bad place, or someplace in between. He'll tempt you wherever you are.
Amen.
Amen. So don't ever think you get to a place in your life that you can't be tempted by Satan.
Amen.
I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how much promotion you got. I don't care how many businesses you have. Listen, Satan can tempt you in good place, bad place, or someplace in between.
Amen.
That's why we constantly got to be on guard for him. Amen. Look at the next temptation Satan has. So Jesus told him, no, I'm not doing it. I live by the word of God. Then the devil takes him up to a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil says to him, look what he says. All this power will I give to you and the glory of them. In other words, and all the good stuff that comes with it. But it is delivered unto me. And he says, I will give it to you, verse 7, if you will worship me. You see that? So what Satan was doing here, he was offering Jesus power, possessions, and influence. I'll give you all this. I'll give you power, I'll give you possessions, I'll give you influence, but there's only one catch. You got to worship me. Mm-hmm. And look how Jesus responded to him. See, the first time he just said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. But when Satan said, worship me, look what Jesus said. Get thee behind me. It was new translation. He would say, get that out of my face. Right? You see how he responded? There was no nice response to that. That it was something about that that Jesus really, what?
Yeah.
How many of you know there need to be some things that when Satan whispers it in your ear, you need to take offense. What? Mm-hmm. Get that away from me. Right? He says, get thee behind me, Satan. It's written that you shall worship God and God alone. Mm-hmm. And see, Satan wants to be worshipped. Remember last week we looked in Isaiah chapter 14 and Lucifer made all these I statements, remember? I will do this, I will do that, I will do that. His last I statement was, I will be like the Most High.
Yes.
Satan wants to be worshipped like God. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what he wants. He wants to be worshipped by God, like God. And here's the thing. Imagine then how angry Satan must be at you and me who worship God but won't worship him. Because he wants to be worshipped. And so you know that he's coming against you. And he said, listen, if you're not going to worship me, then at the very least, what do you think he wants to do? Stop you from worshiping God.
Wow.
Right? He wants to stop you from worshiping God. And he will do everything in his power to try to get you to stop. And so look what he did to Jesus. Watch this, because this is the subtle tricks of the enemy. He says, look at all this stuff. He said, I'll give you all these kingdoms and everything that go along with it. But all you got to do is worship me. Mm-hmm. Well, see, now, this is the funny part, right? I'll give you all this power. But see, Jesus, amen, the Bible says that when Jesus rose from the dead after the third day, he rose up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Mm-hmm. So Jesus was already on his way to getting all the power, but he had to do it God's way. Look what Satan was trying to do. You don't need to go to the cross. I'll give you the power. Right? He was trying to get Jesus to take a shortcut. Because the way to the power for Jesus was through the cross.
Wow.
Jesus wasn't there yet. But Satan tried to get him to take a shortcut. You don't got to cross. You don't got to do that cross stuff. I'll just give this to you. All you need to do is worship me. He was trying to get him to take a shortcut. Oh, glory to God. Don't act like this don't make any sense to you, but watch this. Has Satan ever tried to get you to take a shortcut?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Has he ever tried to get you to cheat on a test?
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Has he ever tried to get you to cheat on your taxes?
Yes.
Huh? There's some people, amen, in order to get the promotion, they don't want to work hard. They'll just take the credit for what their co-worker did.
Oh, my.
Yes. Come on, somebody.
Yes. Yes.
There's some people, they don't want to work hard. They just think they're going to sleep their way to the top.
Jesus.
I'm sorry to offend you, sister. I saw your face. Sometimes I realize sister Trish is kind of innocent. But I just gotta tell you the truth. Amen? There's some people who think they're gonna take the shortcut. You don't have to work hard, just cut a few corners.
Mm-hmm.
See that Satan?
Yeah.
Right? Because what's his thing? I'll give you all the power. I'll give you the position. I'll give you the prestige. I'll give you the influence. And you're not going to have to work for it. I'll show you how to cheat. I'll show you. There's always a loophole.
Oh, Jesus.
Everybody does it. The devil is a liar, amen.
Amen. Amen.
But that's what he wants you to do. I will never forget. Brother Les, I'll never forget. The day I cheated on my taxes. Yeah, I cheated, that's right. Don't act all like that. This is before I knew the Lord, amen.
Amen.
I will never forget, by the way. It was a Sunday. And I'm doing the tax, I'm doing, and the numbers weren't adding up.
Nope.
The way I wanted them to. I'm like, uh-uh. Didn't add up. And see, the problem was I had done some freelance work for somebody, and they gave me a 1099.
Yeah.
I didn't know what a 1099 was. Now I know. 1099 means, listen, if I paid you $1,000, I reported to the government, I paid you $1,000. No taxes were taken out of it, nothing. But how many of you know? Uncle Sam wants their money. And so now it's time for me to, I got this 1099. I got all this money. And I said, it's just 1099. So no, I came up with an idea. I ain't putting the 1099 down. And I remember that I finally finished the I went into the bedroom, Sister Vanelle was in there, and I said, I told her what I did, and my famous last word, I said, let them catch me.
Yep.
The Bible's true. You will have
what you say.
Whatsoever you say. Because I said, let them catch me, and they caught me. It took a few years, but they caught up to a brother, and they wanted their money. What was I trying to do? I was trying to take a shortcut. Right? I was trying to, you know, cut a few corners. Where did that come from? Now, some of you say, oh, it came from you, but I'm trying to say this, amen. Satan will tempt you in your area of weakness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And see, sometimes, listen, sometimes, you know, you could be leaning toward doing something, and Satan just want to tip you over to do it. Right? Is there anybody in here who does not like chocolate cake? Do you understand something? Satan can't tempt you with chocolate cake.
Amen.
Right.
Because you have no inclination, you have no desire for it. Oh, but the thing you like? Oh, he coming in, right? And so part of it was, I have to maybe come face to face that I may have had a little bit of inclination to cheat. See, you can't blame everything on Satan. There's no Flip Wilson, the devil made you do it. See, because some of it is that you have a desire to do some of that stuff, and all Satan is doing is pushing you over the edge.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's why you can say glory to God when you change, that God changes you, that you no longer want to do those things. And so then when Satan tries to come around with that stuff, you can go, get thee behind me, Satan. Right? Now, how many of you know, having gone through that, if Satan came around today, I don't care, he came around all his demons telling me to cheat on my taxes. I'm telling you right now, brother's saying no. Amen. I've been delivered by the Lord. Glory to God. I'm not going back to that.
Amen.
But he will try to get us to cut the corner. And Jesus' response to him, again, it came out of the word of God, amen. It came from Deuteronomy 6 and 13. He says, listen, he said, I'm not going to worship you because you're only supposed to worship God. In the Bible, amen, when John the Revelator was being shown something by the angel, he got down on his face. And the angel said, see thou doest not. In other words, don't do that. He said, you worship God only. Right? In the book of Acts, they tried to worship Paul and Barnabas and them. And Peter, at one point, got down on his feet. Peter, get up. And see, that's what we need. That's why preachers know that you better be careful. You up there preaching and people falling all over you and all that stuff. You better be careful. You better tell them to get up.
That's right.
You better tell them to get up. Don't you be worshiping me. Don't let them be, I worship the ground you worship. No, you don't worship anything. Right? Who's that song? Ain't No Woman Like the One I Got? You know that song? It said, I worship the ground she walks on. I ain't listening to that part. I listen to all the other parts, but it get to that part. Ain't no woman like the one I got. I let that part play. I'll pick it up after that part play. I ain't saying that part. Because you're not going to worship anybody. Huh? You don't worship anybody but God, and don't let anybody try to throw any kind of form of worship your way. Amen. Because the only one who should be worshipped is God. Let's go to the next one. Amen. So the first temptation, turn these stones into bread. Tempted Jesus in his area of weakness, or he perceived him to be weak, and also tempted him in his area of strength. You have the ability to do it. Why don't you just do it? Then he tempted him with power and prestige. Now, how many of you know, there are some people who are drunk with the idea of getting power. I really wonder right now if a certain person who recently took office really wants the office, or he just wants the power that comes with it. The jury is still out, because all I'm seeing this guy is talking about, this guy, whoever. The Lord said, be respectful. Pray for your leaders.
Amen.
But come on now, you in office and you talking about how much of a crowd you had? That's what's on your mind? You come into press conferences with pictures talking about, look how many? That's what, you're the president, man. Get the word. All right, back to our regularly scheduled sermon. That's okay. I'll give you power and prestige, but I need you to worship.
Amen.
Jesus said, no,
I'm not doing
it. I got to go through the cross. If I go through it God's way, I'll have all the power I need.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody. You do it God's way, you'll have all the power you need.
Amen.
You do it God's way, amen, you'll have everything at your disposal. You don't got to take no shortcut. Tell Satan, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to have integrity about myself. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it what? I'm going to do it God's way. God has a way for me. God has a plan for me. Before I got here, God had a plan for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Really, the search is to find out the plan. That's what it all is about. If you can find out the plan that God has for you, that plan is going to lead you to success.
Amen.
It's like, what's the plan? Find the plan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need shortcuts. Find the plan.
Find the plan.
So now let's look at the third one. He brings him, verse number 9, to Jerusalem and sets him on a high pinnacle on the temple. And he says to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence. In other words, throw yourself down. Cast yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time to dash thy foot against a stone. And please know that Satan was quoting Psalm 91 to Jesus. He said, throw yourself down. Because the Bible says, he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Don't worry about it. They'll catch you. Look what he was saying. They'll catch you. And he's using scripture.
Yep.
But that scripture was written to the people of God to say, listen, I have angels, God is saying, to keep you from dashing your foot against the stone that Satan puts in your path.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, that scripture is God saying, I got you covered from the attacks of Satan. And Satan now wants to come and use that same scripture and say to Jesus, just jump.
Right.
He got angels ready to catch you. And Jesus said to him, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, a couple of things to understand about this. Please understand something. Satan knows the Bible too. He takes scripture and he can try to, and what he do? He's going to try to twist it a little bit. Like he tried to twist the scripture. Jump, they'll catch you. That's not what that scripture meant.
No.
But he tried to twist it a little bit. That's the same thing he did back in the Garden of Eden. God told Adam, you can eat of every tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And because the day you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what he told him? And Satan comes slithering up in there and say, has God really said?
Mm-hmm.
And Eve said, oh, we can't eat from this tree. If we eat from this tree, we're going to die. And Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. Isn't that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
He took God's word. God said, you shall surely die. And he took the word and just finagled it with a little bit. You shall not surely die.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing that from the beginning. He changes God's word just a little bit to get you to try to do something. Right? To get you to try to do things that you're not supposed to be doing. And what he was telling Jesus when he said this, you know, this Jesus told him, you don't tempt the Lord your God. I'm not jumping off of this and thinking God's going to catch me. That's tempting God. What was he telling Jesus? He was telling Jesus, jump off this high temple.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially saying, and kill yourself.
Yep, and kill yourself.
know that Satan is telling all kinds of people every day of the week to cast themselves down?
Yeah.
That's why some people are jumping off bridges and jumping off buildings and jumping in front of oncoming trains.
Yeah.
But Satan up there telling them, cast yourself down. Cast yourself down. Jump. And not only just jump off buildings and jump off this and jump off that, but you know what, Satan, when he's saying cast yourself down, you know what he's saying? Lower yourself. In some ways, he's telling people, do things that are beneath you. Lower yourself. Come down. You remember when Nehemiah was building the wall? And he's building the wall, and he's up on the wall, and it was a God-ordained project, and he's building the wall, and he's up there, And Sanballat and Geshem come, but they were the enemies, right, of the people of God. And they come and they try to trick him. They said, hey, why don't you come down? We want to talk to you. They're out there doing the work of God. Hey, why don't you come down? We want to talk to you. And the thing I love about what Nehemiah said to them, he said, I'm doing a great work. So I cannot come down. And then he said this. He said, why should this work stop while I come down and talk to you? So when Satan tells you to come, and that's what he's doing to us today. If you're following God, let me tell you something. You're doing a great work. You're doing a great thing. Amen. You going to the house of the Lord on Sundays, or you going to the house of the Lord on Wednesdays, or whatever it is. You start to read your Bible. I'm telling you right now, you are involved in a great work. And see, Satan's going to do all that he can to try to get you to come on down to his level. Why don't you come on down so I can talk to you? And you got to be like Nehemiah. I'm doing a great work.
Amen.
God's doing a great work in my life. Why should I stop and come down and talk to you? Mm-hmm. Do you know how many people have made the mistake by doing things that they knew were beneath them? Mm-hmm. You knew that man was no good for you. 3, 4, 5 kids later, he gone, and here you are left with all these mouths to feed. You knew he was no good for you. And again, not that you're better than him or that, but there's some people, amen, that listen, they're not on your level.
Amen. That's right.
And you knew it.
That's right.
But Satan convinced you to lower your standards. Mm-hmm. To come on down. The devil is a liar, amen. We got to keep our standards up. We got to have this. No. What God is doing in my life is a good thing. It's a great thing. And I'm not going to stop, devil, so I can come down and talk with you. Mm-hmm. He wants you to stoop down to his level. There's a song by Molly Music that talks about royalty, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a line in the song where he's talking to the girls, and then he talks to the guys. And he says to the girls, he said, would you give them everything? Would you let them call you those names if you knew you were a queen? Mm-hmm. That's powerful stuff, mm-hmm. Right? Would you give them everything? Would you let them call you those names if you knew you were a queen?
Wow.
See, when you know who you are in God, you ain't called. Who you calling? All right, I can't say that in church.
No.
But you know what I'm talking about, though. And some of these girls start calling themselves that. They call themselves what them jokers are calling them.
Amen.
And then that's the thing. Would you let them call you those names if you knew you were a queen?
That's right.
Don't lower yourself. This is the devil telling you, come on down. I'm sitting there. I'm royalty. I'm a royal, part of the royal priesthood. I am seated in heavenly places with Christ. Why should I come down to you? Come on, somebody. This is not about being prideful. This is about knowing who you are in God.
Amen.
Then he talks to the fellas, and he said, what he said to them? Come on, brother, let me know the song. Why are you looking at me like that over here? The other part is skipping my mind.
Amen.
But he talked to the brothers too, you know? You know? Oh, he said there, he said, and my brothers, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already? If you knew you were a king.
Wow.
Do you know how many people, if you knew you were a king, would you be on the corner slaying?
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? Why would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew that through Christ you had it all already?
Wow.
This world don't have nothing to offer you.
Amen.
Listen, through Jesus Christ you have access to the throne of God's grace. And since the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that means God owns everything. And if I have access to the God who owns everything, come on, this is not hard, then I have access to everything.
Amen.
Why do I need to come down to you to get anything? You have nothing to offer me. Glory to God. You have nothing to offer me. So I'm not lowering myself. Amen? Huh? I can go, listen. And God, praise God, sister, now know this to be the truth. I can go away for how many days and be on the road for how many days, and I don't care how many Bathshebas or Jezebels be batting their eyes, I'm going back to my room by myself, and I'm coming home to my wife. Oh, you can bat your eyes away. You got something in your eyes? What all that? Light in your eyes? Lace it, baby, lace it. Come on down. The devil is a liar. Come on, somebody. But if I'm a king, what does that mean? That means I got a queen. I don't need you.
Lord.
Come on, somebody. Come on. And this is the thing. We have to know that Satan's going to try to get you to come down and go to his level of doing things. That's why I'm telling Sister Nell, and we're getting ready to close. Praise God. Tell you, Sister Nell, less than an hour. You know Sister Nell be on social media.
No.
And sometimes she be getting in tussles with folks.
No.
And I try to tell her, babe, you just gotta leave her alone. They're just trying to steal your time and distract you and get you off point. Yeah, I just gotta let her know. But I just be praying for her. And I believe that she's getting stronger, and deliverance is not. But it's such a waste of time. There's some people on social media. This is what I was talking about this morning. That's why they call them trolls. They troll around on social media trying to provoke people. They disagree with your posts. They tell you that you're wrong. What they're trying to do? They're trying to get you to come down to their level and get into a foolish argument, and you don't even know them, folks. I'm telling you now, I'm not wasting my time. You can call me out my name on social media. Mother, I don't give a darn about you. I am not stopping. I am not going to lose my stride. I'm going to keep walking with God, and I'm not coming down to your level. I'm not arguing with you behind a keyboard. There's a whole bunch of keyboard champions. There's a whole bunch of keyboard tough guys. Getting involved in that. I'm not getting involved. I'm not coming down to that level. I'm keeping it up here.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. I'm giving it. Why? Because down there, nothing but distractions and stuff. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's just an invitation of Satan telling you to cast yourself down. Cast yourself down into the cesspool of social media nonsense. Social media can be a good thing, but use it up here. Mm-hmm. And forget all them jokers that's trying to get you to come down and argue with them over stuff. Because Satan is trying to steal your time. He's trying to steal your joy. There's been more than one occasion since I know that.
Ha!
Ah! know what somebody said on social media. Like, Lord, let me lay hands on him. Amen. But here's the thing, man. We see how Satan works and we see what he tries to do. He's going to try to tempt you in your area of strength or weakness, right? Be prepared for either one of them. He's going to tempt you. He's going to try to bombard you with thoughts and suggestions and urge you to do things, amen, and try to come at you when you're most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. The other thing, amen, he's going to try to promise you stuff, mm-hmm, to give you the world, to give you the promotion, to give you a possession, to give you this, to give you that thing. And let me tell you something. God will give you God has more things in store for you than Satan could ever give to you. And it'll come with no strings attached, yeah, to them. Amen? Yeah, amen? So do it God's way. It may take a little bit longer, but do it God's way. I would rather work longer and harder doing things God's way than to get it real fast doing it Satan's way. Because the thing that God gives me will last.
Amen.
The thing that Satan gives you, amen, not only will it not last, but it may destroy you. It may destroy you. Don't go for the quick get rich quick stuff. Don't go for that, man. Just do it God's way. God's way is best. Mm-hmm. Amen? And then lastly, I mean, when Satan tries to get you to come on down, cast yourself down, throw yourself down, lower yourself, do things that you know, right, that really, there should be some things that are beneath you. Now, I'm not saying I could do all that great, but I'm just saying, at a certain point, you're like, there's some stuff you go, I don't do that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Remember you was a kid in the schoolyard, and you used to call people, you know, you used to talk about people mama? Be doing that anymore. You understand what I mean? That should be beneath you now. Yeah. Right? And when somebody tell you, I'm sorry, Johnson, but this report has to be done over. You messed up all these things and you're going to have to do this over. I don't know what's going on with you, Johnson. And Johnson looks at the report and goes, your mom. Come on, Johnson. That's the best you can do. That should be... How many degrees you got, Johnson? And that's all you can say back? It's your mom. That's beneath you, Johnson. Amen. There should be some things that are beneath us. Amen. Amen. That we just say, I don't do that. And I'm not getting off the wall to come do that thing. Amen. 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 Last thing I want to say is this. Some people will say they've gone through this scripture and they've said this. They said that Jesus was able to defeat Satan because by quoting scripture. And I just want to say this. It's not so much just quoting scripture. You just can't throw a scripture at stuff.
Right.
Right? It's not about quoting scripture. It's not about memorizing and quoting scripture. That's not enough. Because Satan can quote scripture.
That's right.
Right? But it's about living by the word that you quote, right? Because when you talk about the full armor of God, the only offensive weapon we have is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Right? And the writer of Hebrews at 4:12 says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. Right? But here's the thing. If all you and I can do is quote scripture, we got a sword, but our sword is dull.
Yes.
Right? It can't even cut through warm butter. Right? Right? I got the scripture, but I don't do it. Mm-hmm. So for example, yeah, I know the scripture on forgiveness. But you do something to me, I get you back. See, knowing the scripture but not doing the scripture, that means you got a dull sword in your hand. So now when you try to use it against the enemy, it does nothing. Right? We got to live by the scripture that we know. It's no sense knowing what the word says if you don't do what the word says. And it's through the doing of the word that you sharpen your sword. Right? So now when I swing that thing at Satan, it does some damage. But we have to live by this word. And we have to not only have the word in our head, but we have to have it in our heart. Right? And I know that the in Proverbs it says, as a man thinketh, but what does it say? As a man thinketh where? In his heart, so is he. The Bible says that we are to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. The things that matter to our life flow from our heart. Mm-hmm. Right? The things that you have now is because at some point it got into your heart. Not your head. It got into your heart. Let me tell you something. Things that are in your head, people can speak, can talk you out of. Things that are in your heart, you can't be shaken off of it.
That's right.
Once you got that thing in your heart, you ain't moving. Right? Yeah. And so here's the thing. Don't get the word of God in your head, because I can talk you out of things in your head.
Amen.
But oh, a man or a woman can't shake you on the things that are in your heart. Right? Mm-hmm. That's why that song says what? I got the love of Jesus in my heart. And what is it? You can't make me down. Why? Because I got it in
my heart.
Mm-hmm. Right? So we just got to make sure that this is not about taking some scripture and trying to throw it at Satan. You know what I mean?
Well, the Bible says, you know.
No. That's good that you got that part. But now stay on that word, meditate on that word, so that thing flows from your head and gets into your heart.
Amen.
Because now when it's in your heart, that's how you live by. See, that's what you live by. And now when you stand up and say something, you're speaking from your heart, and you're speaking with the power of God behind you. Amen?
Amen.
So we need our swords to be sharp. Amen. That means we're going to live by the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So listen, Satan comes and he's going to try to tempt us. But we have good news that through God, we have the power to overcome the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then we overcome the enemy, because all he wants to do is steal, kill, and destroy. We can have the life that God wants for us. Right? And God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. See, that's what God says. See, so I want the prosperity that God has planned for me. How about you?
Amen.
I want to prosper you and not harm you. See, God's not looking to harm me. He's not looking to hurt me. God's looking to bless me.
Amen.
Amen. And he's looking to give me hope and a future. Satan's trying to take me out. I ain't listening to him, amen. But we're going to use this word of God. We're going to follow the example that Jesus set before us. But we're going to have to get this word in our heart and live by this word of God. And it goes back to the first thing Jesus said. Man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Amen. And that's a life of victory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's rest on our feet. Let's pray on this morning. Praise the Lord, Sister Fanny. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you, God, for the word you've spoken unto us. We thank you, Lord, that we have victory through Christ Jesus.
Yes,
Father, your word says that the devil walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But your word also tells us that we are to resist him steadfast in the faith.
Yes.
And Father God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, Father, if we're going to resist him steadfast in the faith, it has to be on the basis of your word.
Yes.
So, Father, we thank you for the word that you've spoken unto us. We thank you for the example that we see in the Lord Jesus Christ to use the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, to resist the enemy and to come out on top with the victory. Father God, we believe by faith that if we would do the same thing, that if we would get this word deep in our heart and live by the word of God, let it be our life, as Moses said to the children of Israel. And Lord, we will be able to resist the devil because we would have already submitted unto you and to your authority.
Yes.
So, Father, we thank you for the blueprint of success. Submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee.
Yes.
And Father God, as we purpose to live our life by the word of God, we know that we are in position to beat back every temptation, every accusation, and every form of deception that the enemy will throw our way, that we may have the life that Jesus came to give us. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly.
Yes.
We thank you, God, now for abundant life through Jesus Christ. And we give you the praise.
Amen.
In his name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we praise the Lord?